And then we're going to worship King Jesus. Father, we thank you again for today. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought us to this place. And Lord, as we're here, we pray, God, that your spirit, your presence is made known to us. Lord, we know you're already here because your spirit lives inside of your children. Lord, we just ask this morning that you open our hearts, open our minds, and your spirit be poured out in this place. And as that happens, Lord, may we worship you. May we magnify your name. May we glorify you in this place. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for your powerful Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen. As we were just kind of joking around, it is a new year. And with a new year, guess what? Comes new things, right? Comes newness. New beginnings. New expectations. New adventures. Sometimes new relationships. In the church world, new ministry opportunities. And then so forth and so on, right? And as we begin this year, as we begin 2025, we're going to start with a new series of messages. And I'll just be honest with you, I feel like God's been preparing these messages for a lot longer than a few weeks. I'm like most of you, a lot of times I say, I don't know. I don't know if that's right, God. And then God says, no, it's right. Right? So even in my apprehension of leading up to this, God has shown me, you know, it's better to do it his way than my way. So I just feel like that God's been preparing this series of messages for some time, and I just hope that I deliver it over the next 6 weeks the way he wants it done. My prayer this whole week, as a matter of fact, concerning this has been, Lord, you speak. please, Lord, you speak, not me. So I hope that as we go through this, if you're able to be here each week, that's great. If not, we understand that as well. But as we go through this, I just hope that God truly speaks to your heart. And that as he speaks to your heart, that you listen. Because sometimes he speaks to us and we do this, right? Because we sometimes don't necessarily like what he's saying. But if you remember back in 2023, which is, it actually was almost 2 years ago because it occurred in February, on February the 8th, our son's birthday. But almost 2 years ago on the campus of Asbury University, a scheduled chapel service, okay, a normal chapel service for that university, turned into a spontaneous prayer meeting and a worship service. Well, it went from the prayer meeting and it transitioned into this Holy Spirit-filled worship service, and then it morphed into a 16-day-long revival in the Wilmore community of Kentucky, which is where Asbury University is. Does anybody remember that? You remember seeing it on the news? You probably didn't even see it on the news till two or three days into the revival event, right? What was most unique about this movement of God is that it took place among, guess what, Randy? The Gen Zs. I don't think that it's a coincidence that Bible sales among Gen Z is up, and then this morning we're going to be talking about this, what occurred 2 years ago among the students there at Asbury University. Well, guess what? Gen Z is the most unchurched and most non-religious generation in U.S. history. And by the time word spread about this revival, over 15,000 people attended every day. Now, here's what I want you to also understand about that. They didn't shut the doors. When I say 16 days, it was 24 hours for 16 straight days that this revival service took place. And by the time, at its peak, it was about 15,000 people attended each day. And I remember Adam Hopkins preaching one Sunday and mentioning that he took off up there because he wanted to go and experience that and be a part of that. So if you know Adam, talk to him. He can give you some, like, on the ground, boots on the ground reporting from that. It's also estimated that because of social media outlets, which, by the way, who's the most frequent user of social media outlets? The Gen Zers, right? And you can TikTok, Instagram, whatever they are, you know, all the different ones, when they went to work, these kids, I say, went to work, right? It's believed that over 63 million people were able to witness the power of God in those 16 days and were able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in those 16 days. So what you say, okay, that's great. What was the impact to this movement? Well, I want to share what the university's president told CBN, which is, you know, Christian Network, News Network, and what some of the students said about that time, about that 16 days, okay? And this is just a small, just a tiny little snippet, but I want you to really listen to what was said about this revival that occurred almost 2 years ago. Kevin Brown, Asbury's president, said this: "Our students continue to be hungry. They continue to lead. They've gone and they've shared. We've had over 50 groups go to different ministries and churches, both in the United States and overseas." He said that 13 months after the revival service that lasted 16 days. Riley McCord, a student at Asbury during the time, said, "God turned my world technicolor." Have you ever had, has God ever done that for you? "God turned my world technicolor, and I don't know how else to describe it, but listen to this, but what? Prayer came alive." When's the last time your prayer life came alive? Because I agree with what Randy said this morning. Sometimes we just feel like our prayer is what? Going through the motion. We just feel like we're checking the box or we're just doing it. Well, when's the last time your prayer life came alive? Came alive. Another student, Caleb Rushing, said, "It was an overwhelming glimpse of just God. His goodness, His mercy, His grace, His firmness. It was a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like when we get to just reign and dwell with God forever." Woo, man. I ought to read that one and just read it over and over and over, because that's what we're waiting on, isn't it? But do we really have to wait on it? We can experience that. I mentioned earlier in my prayer that the Spirit of God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is already here. It's already here. I think sometimes He's waiting just to unzip us, right? So it'll flow out. So it'll come out. One student, and that student in some of the things I was reading, wished to remain anonymous, but they confessed to being filled with anger. So they went to this chapel service. I read about a little bit about this student, even though they didn't want to give their name. They went to the chapel service because one of the rules of the university is you have to attend chapel service, right? You go to a Christian university, that's kind of a normal thing. Well, get to the chapel service, the first part of this, the day one, right? And this student goes, and this student is angry and mad. Why? Because they got to be in a chapel service when they'd rather be doing something else. But it confessed to being filled with anger and experiencing a fear of repenting. But after experiencing God's presence and peace, said, "The pit in my stomach is gone." Maybe you're here this morning and you got one of those pits that you want it to be gone. That kid, that student showed up to chapel service mad about it and left. Left knowing that he or she had experienced the power and presence of God. When's the last time you showed up to a chapel service and you left knowing you experienced the power and presence of God? Bobby Lynn Carr commented that she didn't have a community. But after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit began, she said, "He has given me a peace I don't understand." Gee, that sounds like words straight out of the Bible, doesn't it? "He has given me a peace I don't understand, and He has shown me that I am loved, seen, and known by Him." I hope, guys, that in the coming year, that when you come to Mount Freedom, that you feel the way that young lady did. I hope that when you come here, you know that you're loved. But not that you just know it, but you feel it, and it's genuine. It's genuine. And look, I talked about it last week. If we're where we're supposed to be in our relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not a fake thing. People will show up and they'll walk in and they'll say, man, those people really love Jesus. And guess what? I think they really care about me. So what started on that day, on February the 8th, as a message on love from the chapel pastor turned into a movement of God that changed people's lives. Not just in that moment, but I want you to hear, go back and listen to those quotes. It didn't just change them in the moment, it changed their lives for an eternity. And guess what? It's still having a tremendous impact on that community, the community of Wilmore. And if you remember the story, it went all the way into Texas and California and the state of Washington, because other religious universities, guess what? Not copied, not mimicked, but the Spirit of God began to pour out in those places. And guess what? Revival started in those places as well. What happened at Asbury is something that resonates, or it should resonate profoundly with every Christian. My entire life, I've heard many of my brothers and sisters in faith proclaim that what we need is a great revival. Anybody ever heard that? This past year, as we led up to an election, I can't tell you how many times I heard that. But when I hear that, it encourages me. You know why it encourages me? Because I recognize that the people of God, the children of God, recognize how bad things are. And they also recognize that the only answer to that is, go back to our first video, is only Jesus can. So just like the new beginnings of a new year, revival is something that should be just that for people of God. Revival is something new. And it's a fresh outpouring of God's powerful Spirit. Do you just feel like you need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God in this place today? I don't know about you, but I do. I do. I have felt that way for a while. Have I doubted God? Nope. Do I still trust God? Absolutely. But there's just something inside of me that I just say, God, I just need something fresh. I need you to do a little CPR on me. I need to have a little resuscitation. But I need a fresh movement. I need a fresh breath from God. So revival is something new, and it is a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit. And guess what? When it occurs, our faith is shaken back to life. I put it in my notes, reawakened. I look around the room, some of y'all just need to be woke up. But our faith sometimes needs to be reawakened. When revival begins, guess what? Hearts begin to change. Everybody sitting in this room knows somebody, either a friend, a coworker, or a family member that you just pray for and you know their heart needs to be changed. Guess what? They need a revival. They need a fresh breath of God. When revival occurs, guess what else happens? Our relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ gets better. And it's deepened. It's brought to a new place, a better place. A stronger place. Anybody want that? I hope you're here this morning, because that's what you're really seeking. You're really seeking that. So here's what I want you to understand too. Revival is not a new concept. Anybody ever witnessed a revival? I know as a kid I went to revival services all the time. It's something we don't really see a lot of or do a lot anymore. But when I was a kid growing up, every summer for a week, mom and daddy drug me to revival. Over and over and over. And one year, at the age of 9 and a half, they drug me to a youth revival. And guess what God did? He saved me. Revival is not something new. The Bible actually includes several passages that we're just... We're just going to hit on just a few of those in this series. There's a lot, y'all. But it speaks to the powerful involvement of God in the lives of His children. And you say, well, revival, isn't that about the lost? Well, sort of. But the revival is the newness, the freshness, the movement that occurs in His children. And then when the people that are lost see how powerful the movement of God is in His children, it is then that they are drawn and called to the Spirit themselves. So I want you to hear what I'm saying. If we want to impact the people around us, our family members, our co-workers, our community, the ones that we know are lost and dying and going to hell, then guess what we got to do? We got to allow the Spirit of God to revive us in such a way that they can't resist it. So this morning, we're going to begin this new series of messages designed, I think, to help us approach God in a new way. And upon approaching Him in a new way or a different way, or perhaps it's a way you've approached before, but you're going to have a different mindset about it this time, I hope. But as we approach God in this new way, to genuinely ask Him to revive us. And I bolded that and put an exclamation point so that, you know what that tells me when I'm preaching? Hit the podium. Get the paddles and rub them and jolt you. That's what when you approach God in the next few weeks and you begin to pray in a new way and you begin to sing in a new way and you begin to read the Bible in a new way, do it with the mindset that, God, I want You to revive me because I need to feel Your presence and Your power like I never have before. Like I never have before. You say, well, that's pretty selfish, preacher. You telling me you preach all this stuff about humility and not being selfish. It's not being selfish because all you want to do is feel the presence and the power of your Father in your life. And guess what He wants to do? He wants to do that for you. He wants to do that for you. So not to copy what was done at Asbury, but to revive us with something fresh, something new, something powerful. My hope and my prayer is that your desire to experience the presence of power in God, not just here at Mount Freedom, but in your personal life as well. Perhaps the words from Psalm 85, 6 through 7 will help us understand that. Because it asks this question, or it asks this of God, will You not revive us again? Will You not revive us again that Your people, in other words, that Your children, may rejoice in You. When's the last time you rejoiced in the Father? When's the last time you rejoiced in your Savior Jesus Christ? When's the last time you rejoiced in the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you? And then it goes on and says, show us Your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us Your salvation. When we make such a plea, we should only do so with full expectation that God will be faithful to answer us. You know why sometimes I think that our prayer life feels mundane? Like it's just, I'm going through the motion. Because we're not praying expecting that God will answer. We're also not praying things that we know God will answer, if that makes sense. This is the part where I tell you, don't be selfish in your prayers. Focus more on the needs as opposed to the wants. You might not have a need in your life. It's all wants. Well, then guess what you focus on in your prayer life then? The needs of someone else. The needs of someone else. So Psalm 85, 6 and 7 says this, just to repeat, will You not revive us again that Your people may rejoice in You? Show us Your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us Your salvation. Pray with an expectation that God will be faithful to answer us and that we'll experience joy and restoration. Along with this plea to God, we need to seek revival based on the steps that are provided for us in God's Word. You say, you mean there's steps there? Absolutely. You can call it a formula. You can call it steps. You can call it recipe. Whatever you need. But God tells us, hey, if you want a new experience, you want a fresh breath in your life, hey, do these things. Do these things. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And this is a very familiar verse. Over the last couple of years, well, 3-4 years actually, you've probably heard this verse quoted and seen it on news articles and on TV and all kind of places. Right? And so it ought to be familiar to you. But what does it say? It says, if my people, is he talking to lost people? He's talking about his children. He's talking about, if you're here this morning and you belong to Jesus Christ, he's your Lord and Savior, he's talking to you. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and hear their land. Is God saying he's not listening to us? No. He's waiting to hear the things that he knows that we ought to be doing instead of the things that we are doing. So what's the first step? One of my favorites. Humility, right? Humility. Be humble. Once you decide to remove yourself from the picture and allow God to be in charge, things will begin to change in your life. And I see some of you nodding. You know why you're nodding? Because at some point in time you've done that and you've experienced that. Can I ask you another serious question? Why don't you do that every day? If you know how good it is and you've already experienced it, why don't you just do it every day? It's not in our nature most of the time. So the first step is humility. Be humble. Allow God to be in charge. James teaches us that God loves a humble person and will show them favor. James 4, 6, and 7. Humility and submission to God is one of the keys. Humility, and here's the thing, submission to who? God is one of the keys for spiritual freedom. So that's one of the other things. We talk about a fresh breath from God. We talk about being revived and experiencing revival. We're talking about freedom in Christ. Freedom in a world that's going against us. Freedom as a child of God. But one of the keys to that spiritual freedom and the first steps toward revival is humility and submission to God. The next verse in James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Can I just tell you the reason sometimes we struggle with being humble is we struggle with resisting the devil. And I can only speak for me because I'm me. I know how hard it is sometimes to resist the devil. Because if I don't resist the devil, it's fun. And it feels good. And it makes me happy. But all those things are temporary things. They're not eternal things. The Bible says if I focus on God and I humble myself and I seek the Spirit of God in my life, that my happiness will be turned to joy. That's what I want. Do I want to be happy? Absolutely. I'm like everybody else. I love to be happy. But I want to go deeper. I want to experience joy. Next, it says we ought to pray. We spent a lot of time over the last 2 years focusing on prayer. And I'll just be honest with you. Have we prayed? Yep, we've prayed. Have we done it 100% correct all the time? Perhaps not. But I like to think that, boy, when we pray, we are fervently praying. We're seeking, as the Bible says, the face of God. Why? Because we need to hear from God. We need the Father to step in and do things that we can't do. Things that are out of our control. And guess what? If we follow what he says in his word, he'll show up and he'll do those things. So next, it says we should pray. Remember the words of Riley McCord, one of the students. She said about the moment revival broke out at Asbury, her prayer life came alive. From the text we just read in 2 Chronicles, God specifically told King Solomon that his people should pray and seek his face. And I'm not being ugly to you this morning, but when's the last time in your prayer life, you just said, you know what, God, I just want to be at your feet. I want to see you. And then you go, and wait and see what happens. We got to stop looking at prayer as something we must do and seeing it as something we get to do. Now think about that. The more I think about that, the more I want to pray. I get to talk to him. How many people like to talk? No, I'm just kidding. Here's your chance. You got a God that loves you and will never turn it off. Will never flip the switch. Will never have selective listening. Prayer's not something we should do as much as it is something we get to do. God gave us prayer to communicate with Him. If you genuinely want revival in your life, you want it in your home, you want it where you work, you want it where your children go to school, you want it in the rec departments, you want it in the grocery stores, you want it in your community, you genuinely want revival in all of those places, guess what? Get over yourself, humility, and pray and seek the face of God. And do it how? Expecting that He'll show up. Can I change that word expecting to knowing that He'll show up? That He'll show up. Again, maybe we need to remind ourselves of more words from Scripture. Psalm 116, 1 through 2 says this, I love the Lord. And then he gives a reason why. Because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. We don't have to pray, we get to pray. And the more we get to pray, the more we want to pray. And the more our heart begins to say, I pray and I talk to my God because he loves me and I love him. And it says right here, I'm going to call on him as long as I live. Prayer needs to be a part of who you are as a Christian. And you say, well, I struggle with that. Guess what? Your first prayer ought to be, help me, God, in my prayer struggles. Put people in my life that will teach me how to do this more effectively. Put a book. Oh, wait a minute. You got one of those. Right? Open my eyes to those around me that are prayer warriors. Teach me, God, how to do it in a manner that pleases you. Revival will only come to those who are seeking the presence of God. I want to repeat that. If you truly want revival, you got to seek the presence of God. That's what that seek his face means, right? And I say this again, when's the last time? And I'm just going to use this as an example. We have a cross here. It's just to remind us, right? Of all that Jesus has done. But when's the last time maybe you showed up here on a Tuesday night by yourself and texted somebody and said, hey, can I get in the church? I want to pray. And then you come in here and you just stand here and you say, God, I need to see you. God, I need to feel your presence. God, I need to know that you're involved in my life. When's the last time you did that in a manner so desperate that you won't walk out those doors until he shows up? Revival will only come to those who are truly seeking the presence of God. That's the third step in what we read from Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many in this room have ever thought this or said this? Well, I just feel like God's so far away. I just feel like he's not there anymore. You know, can I just be honest with you? You know who's whispering that in your ear? The enemy. Because God's not far away. All he's waiting on you to do is seek him in such a way that he knows how desperately you want to see him. I love those who love me and those who seek me diligently. Guess what he says? Find me. You want to feel the presence of God, the power of his Spirit, then go searching for him. Look for him. Seek him out. I guarantee you in about 15 minutes, some of you are going to start looking at your watch because your stomach's going to growl. And you're going to say, if this preacher don't hush his mouth, I'm going to find me something to eat. And if I keep going for about 3 or 4 hours, some of you are going to start leaving because you're going to say, I got to get something to eat. And I'm using that as a silly example, but that's what I'm talking about. When's the last time you went and you sought after God in such a way that you weren't going to stop until you found him? You want revival in your home. You want revival in your life. You want revival in your community. You want revival in your church. Then you got to seek God in that manner. Yearning for God's presence, guess what? That's a good thing. I'll just say it this way. It's a great thing. It's a fundamental thing if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. It's fundamental to your relationship with him. And you say, well, preacher, you talk about our relationship with Jesus Christ all the time. And I don't know if he's there with me. He's there. Maybe you just ain't searching hard enough. It's necessary for the Spirit of God to actively work in your life. I got some questions. Are you thirsty for God? Do you thirst like the deer panting for water as mentioned in the Psalms? I used that funny relation to food a while ago, but anybody ever been really thirsty, like super thirsty? Are you that thirsty for God? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I bet if I paused right now and I started going around the room and I said, in 2025, what are some of the things that you would love to get or love to have? And then I could be really mean and say, okay, let's throw away the ones that don't have anything to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ and keep the ones that do. And that list, I guarantee you, will be very small. You know how I know that? Because that's my list. What I want to challenge you to do in 2025 is flip the list. To where the things that have to do with your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus Christ, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is so long you can't put it, there ain't enough paper. And the ones that have to do with yourself is minimal. Finally, God says we must be willing. And here's the hard one, y'all. Because some of you will say, well, I got that humility thing down. I'm not really struggling in my prayer life. Well, I've been talking to God a long time. I feel him all the time. And then we get to the fourth part of that, repent. Nobody likes to talk about repentance. You know why? Because that means we've got to stop doing the things that make us feel good sometimes. Or make us happy sometimes. Because repentance deals with recognizing the stuff in your life that doesn't please God. We call that what? Sin. You say, oh no, preacher. Here we go again talking about sin. Guess what? As long as I'm your pastor, I'm gonna call you to a place where I hope that you're willing to recognize your sin. There's a difference in having sin in your life and living in sin, by the way. Guess what? Repentance helps in both of those. both of those. So God says we got to be really willing to repent. Well, how do we move to repentance? Well, we got to recognize the sin in our life. Once we recognize that sin, recognize what it's doing to us or it's doing to somebody else, or hey, doing to God, then we got to ask for forgiveness of those sins. See, that's a hard thing too, isn't it? Because most of the time when we have to ask for forgiveness, we've got to also admit that we were wrong. So once we've discovered or recognized the sin, we've admitted to it, we ask for that forgiveness, then you got to enter into an agreement with God that we, under the authority of Jesus and under the helping power of the Holy Spirit, will not do these things again. And I put that under the authority of Jesus and under the power of the Holy Spirit in their own purpose. You know why? Because what I have found in my own life is that when I try to repent, turn from a sin, not do it anymore under my own authority and under my own power, I fail miserably. It is only when I lean into Jesus, I lean into the Holy Spirit, and I trust Him to remove that from me that I'm successful. So we got to recognize the sin. We got to ask for forgiveness of that sin, and then we got to enter into an agreement with God to allow His power to overcome that sin. That's when true repentance can take place. Like the recipe for revival, there is a biblical recipe for repentance. See, the Holy Spirit convicts us of that sin and then leads us to the righteousness found only in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit allows us to feel what it's like to be forgiven by paving the way for God's mercy and God's grace. The Holy Spirit's power allows us to overcome sin's control on our life and turn away from a worldly life without Christ. The Apostle John assures us of these things in 1 John 1:9, when he says, if we confess our sins, now if, what's that mean? You get a choice. You can or you can't. You either do it or you don't, right? So it says, so John says what? If we confess our sins, and this is what I like. He, who's the he? God, He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us. Anybody ever says, well, God, I just feel like I can't forgive that person. Or you say, well, that person just won't forgive me. Can I just say this? Have you turned it over to God? Have you approached it from His perspective? It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We sang that song about the power of the blood. When the blood of Christ cleanses you, it removes your unrighteousness and replaces it with His righteousness. So, that's my introduction, y'all, to the series on Revive Us. And I think you will see as we work our way through this series is that revival is not just an event. Can be, if that's what God chooses. We're not looking to be an Asbury. We're not looking to be the next thing that goes out across social media. No. We're looking for God to do what? Show up. Give us a little CPR. Resuscitate us a little bit, right? And do a movement in our life first, and then in this body of believers next, and then in the community that He's placed us in following that. And then who knows, right? So revival instead is this journey, this profound journey. It's a spiritual awakening reserved for those who love the Lord. I want to say that again. Revival occurs and is reserved for those who love the Lord. Again, revival occurs in His children, and from that the lost can see the presence and power of God. When it occurs, when revival occurs, it brings restoration. I look around this room and I'm just being honest. A lot of you have relationships in your life that need to be restored. That need to be restored. Sometimes that's not your fault. Sometimes it is. Can you control the ones that's not? Maybe not. But the ones that are, you can control those. You can control those. Revival can't start if you're not willing to do what it takes to restore those relationships. But when it starts, it'll bring restoration. It'll bring renewal. And guess what it does? It impacts individuals, families, friendships, congregations, communities. But it will only come to those who are prepared and ready to receive it. Prepared and ready to receive it. I didn't put it in my notes. There's no quote. But as I was studying and thinking about this and all the things I was reading about that revival in Asbury, the pastor who delivered the message on love that morning, you know what he was thinking in his mind? I'm going to go to another chapel service. And probably for the 10th time or 12th time, whatever, I'm going to get up and I'm going to preach a message about the love of Christ. And we're going to sing a few songs, we're going to say a few prayers, and all these students are going to get up and they're going to walk out and they're going to go back to their lives and boom, 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 and it's just going to go back to normal. And guess what God did? He said, nope, not today. Not today. Do you think that pastor thought that for the next 16 days, for 24 hours a day, he wouldn't sleep, wouldn't eat, but he would pray and preach and pray and preach and sing and pray? And I don't think he thought that. I'm standing here right now not thinking that. But what if that's what God decides to do? Are we prepared? Are we ready to receive it? If that's what he decides to do. Will you enter this journey with me as we begin a new year, 2025? Will you humble yourself? Will you pray without apprehension and with expectation? Will you pant after the presence of God? Are you willing to acknowledge the sins in your life? And then seek forgiveness from those sins. And then the hardest part, turn away from the evils that those sins put in your life. I'm tired of just experiencing the things of this world. Are you? I'm ready and willing to experience a supernatural reviving from the Spirit of God in 2025. Are you? Are you? I can't answer any of those questions for you. Only you can. Only you can. My hope, my prayer, is that I'm not the only one standing up here going, I need you, God. Show up, God. Pour your Spirit out on this place, God. Don't leave me hanging, y'all. I'm going to play a song of invitation. It's a new song, so you're not going to recognize it. It's going to be on the screen. But I hope God has spoke to you in some way this morning. I hope he's challenged your thinking. I hope he's challenged your heart. And if he's done that, look, this altar's here. Maybe it's time that you come and get on your knees. Seeking the face of God. If you need to do that, do that. If you need me, I'll be here to help you. Please stand.
Do you believe you were too far gone? There's no chance you're someone Jesus loves. This broken world keeps telling you he won't. That's not the Jesus that I know. If you walk in his house and leave with shame, that was wasn't him, they just used his name. If you think he won't welcome you home, well, that's not the Jesus that I know. Doesn't care that all your prayers fall upon deaf ears, that in your greatest need you're all alone. Well, that's not the Jesus that I know. Not the you Jesus knows, no. He looks at you and all he sees is a child his love has redeemed. That's the you Jesus knows.
Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your words. Lord, some of those hurt, but I know you mean them for good. So, Lord, may we embrace today's message. May we embrace this series. And, Lord, as we move through this, I pray, God, that you really do revive us. God, wake us up. God, do a work so powerful in us that the world around us can't deny that it's you. God, as we prepare to go today, we just ask, Lord, that you will give us a spirit of peace. Give us a spirit of love. Give us a spirit of joy. And let us go out of this dark world and be the light that you intend us to be. Watch over us, Father. Protect us. Lead us every step of the way. And in those steps, God, may we give you nothing but all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, because you're the only one that is worthy. Thank you, Jesus, for knowing who I really am and loving me anyway. Father, we love you today. Jesus, we love you today. Holy Spirit, we love you today. And we pray all these things together in your mighty and holy name. Amen.